Sefer Tehillim with the commentary Ma'am Lois by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD or for any of our Torah lectures online. This is Shir number 26. We are holding in chapter 50, Pasuk Chaf Beis. I just want to do one last commentary in 21. I'm going to repeat Pasuk 21. Eila sisa vecharashti dimisa heyos eyechomochem ochi chacho ve'ercho le'enechom. These things have you done, and I kept silent. You thought that I would surely be like you. I will reprove you and set the matter before your eyes. A related interpretation says, you thought that it is appropriate for me to be like you, that I should pretend to see iniquity but not look too closely. But that is not the way things are. Rather, I will reprove you and set the matter before your eyes. I will do as you do in this regard. When you see offenses in others, you condemn them. Pasuk Chaf Beis, Pasuk 22. Binu no zois shochechei elokai pen etro ve'ein matzo. Now consider this, you who forget Hashem, lest I tear you apart and there be none to save you. Having concluded his words of admonition, God says, consider this, you the wicked, you who forget Hashem, I do not punish without first having warned. See, here and now, accept the warning I have given you. Consider carefully my words, lest I tear you apart, and there be none to save you. Thus the present pasuk refers to the earlier. But to the wicked man, Hashem says, what purpose have you to declare my statutes? Why have I kept silent until now? To enable you to consider your deeds with the utmost scrutiny, lest I tear you apart and there's none to save you. Some note that the word zos is an aristocratic for the words zechus avos tema. The merit of our ancestors have come to an end. Do not rely on the merits of your ancestors to save you in gullus. For the merit of ancestors has come to an end. So beware, lest I tear you apart and there's none to save you. Similarly, commenting on the pasuk, and now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of the lovers, and none will deliver her out of my hand, a pasuk that's found in Hosea, our sages say, there is no longer ancestral merit. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Pasuk 23. Zoveach toda yechabdonanani. The sum derech ar enu b'yesha l'kim. Whoever offers the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and so prepares the way, I will show him the salvation of Hashem. The singer now addresses the assembly of devoutly pious men, Hasidim. Neither the sin offering, nor the guilt offering, nor the burnt offering honors me, if they are sacrificed for the expiation of transgression, in the absence of true repentance. Rather, good and pleasing is the sacrifice of thanksgiving, which is brought in the absence of sin. One who offers the sacrifice prepares the way, points to the proper path that others can follow by emulating him. To such a man, I will show the salvation of Hashem. Hashem will bestow upon him his great and total salvation without recourse to any intermediary. Another interpretation says, whoever offers the sacrifice that is accompanied by thanksgiving, meaning he rectifies his ways, honors me through careful observance of my mitzvahs. Better still, if he prepares the way by perfecting his conduct and his thought so that he has no need to offer sacrifices, I will show him the salvation of Hashem. On Judgment Day, Elohim is God as judge. The perfected ones will find deliverance. Some note that the present pasuk expresses the essence of the entire psalm, corresponding to whoever offers the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. He said earlier, hear, O my people, and I will be testified for by you. You will be my witness. Offer to Hashem the sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. But the superior person has no need of sacrifices. Rather, he prepares the way. His path in life is firmly set to serve Hashem. What is that path? He anticipates when the evil inclination might come to induce him into sin, and he sets a trap for it. Thus, forewarned, he takes precautions, which attest to his fear of God. Thus, the Targum says, he slaughters the evil inclination and subdues it. This is reckoned to his credit, as if he had offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving. To the man who thus avoids the path of evil, I will show the salvation of Hashem. I'd like to share a story with you. Rabbi Yonai was once traveling on the road, and he saw an elegantly attired gentleman. By his mode of dress and bearing, he took him to be a Talmud Chacham. Perhaps the rabbi would agree to be our guest, he said to him, and the man agreed. So he brought him into his home and satisfied him with food and drink. But then when he tested the man, he found him to be ignorant of Chumash. He tested him in Mishnah and found him to be ignorant. Tested him in Agoda and found him to be ignorant. Rabbi Yonai handed him a goblet of wine to recite the benching, the grace after meals. And the man said, let Yonai reside in his own home. The man was even ignorant of the grace after meals. Said Rabbi Yonai to him, tell me, do you have enough understanding to repeat after me? Yes, go ahead. Say this, a dog ate Rabbi Yonai's food. The man stood up and grabbing Rabbi Yonai shouted, my inheritance is in your possession and you are keeping it from me. That is to say, knowledge of the Torah which you have in your possession is like an inheritance which you keep for yourself and do not teach us. What do you mean by this, Rabbi Yonai asked. One day I passed by a grade school and heard the little children shouting at the top of their voices, Moshe commanded us the Torah, the inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov, a passage found in the Chumash Devarim. It's not written the inheritance of Yonai, but the inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov. The Torah belongs to every Jew. How is it that you were found worthy to eat at my table, asked Rabbi Yonai. In all my days, replied the man, I've never heard evil talk and then repeated it to the person of whom it was said. Nor have I ever seen two people quarreling there and not make peace between them. You possess these excellent qualities and I called you a dog, explained Rabbi Yonai. Then he applied his pasuk to him, b'shem derech, that is the word of this way is very great. For as Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Nachman, said, by 26 generations did Derech Eretz, the way of man on earth, proper conduct, precede giving of the Torah. Prepares the way, one who brings a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me by showing, preparing the proper way to bring an offering. The principal value of a sacrificial offering is in sacrificing one's will by subjecting it to the will of Hashem. As it says there, Tzonchem Tzbochu, literally, when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to Hashem, slaughter your will. The main intent is for the person who brings the offering to destroy his evil inclination, and then I will show him the salvation of Hashem. He becomes worthy of receiving the divine presence. Thus it says, to do charitableness and judgment is more accessible to Hashem than sacrifices. The pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Charitableness, the best of the offering is the charitable act whereby he gives part of it to the Kohanim, the priests, who are servants of Hashem. Judgment, the one who brings the offering considers in his heart that what is done to the sacrificial animal should be by right be done to him. Said Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, anyone who prepares his way in this world merits to behold the salvation of God, as it says, he prepares the way, and I will show him the salvation of God. Do not read Visham, but Visham and there. Not Visham, but Visham and there. That is to say, Hashem will show him the path of salvation there in the world to come. Rabbi Yonai had a student who would ask questions ceaselessly the whole year. On the Shabbos of the pilgrimage festival, he refrained from asking him anything. So he applied the pasuk to him, he prepares the way, I will show him the salvation of God. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi also said, whoever slaughters his evil inclination and offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving, Hashem says about him, it is as if he honored Hashem in both worlds, in this world, and the world to come. For it does not say Yechabdoni, but Yechabdononi. The double letter Nun refers to this world and to the world to come. He honors me in both worlds. The word Shem is also read as the verbal sum, evaluates, suma. Whoever evaluates and considers and values his way in life, Shem Derech, so that he follows the path of the golden mean, I will show him the salvation of Hashem. Chapter 51, Pasuk 1. Nam Netzeach Mizmor LeDavid, for the conductor of Psalm of David. Pasuk Beis, Bevo Elov Nosan Anovi, Kashebo El Bashova. When Nosan the prophet came to him after he had come to Bathsheba. King David composed the present psalm as a prayer for forgiveness for the sin with Bathsheba. After he had relations with Bathsheba, the prophet Nosan came to him in the name of Hashem to tell him the parable of the rich man, the owner of many sheep, who stole another man's only lamb, as found in Shmuel Beis. Thus confronted with his terrible sin, he composed this prayer. He composed it before Nosan subsequently informed him that his sin had been atoned for. In the realization that Hashem had honored him by sending Nosan to urge repentance, David cried out joyously. A psalm of David, he had found a way to ask for forgiveness and to achieve atonement. Happy is this great king. He was wise enough to write about his sin. He was not ashamed to do so. He understood that it was better for him to suffer humiliation in this world than to suffer humiliation when facing the holy king, Hashem. He realized that had Hashem only meant to punish him, he would not have sent the prophet. Hashem wanted him to repent. The Torah writes in detail about David's prayer. The occasion was when Nosan the prophet came to him, etc. It is meant to teach us that a human being is capable of rising very high. David lifted himself out of the filth of sin and was cleansed, as we're going to learn in Pasuk Dalet. Here was this very great man, great in wisdom and great in good deeds, and because he was so great, it might have been thought that there was no salvation for him when he stumbled into sin. The opposite is true. He was found worthy to behold the divine light once again, because his heart and soul deeply desired to be cleansed. Some explain that the Torah here points to two harsh facts. For one, David did not repent on his own, but only when Nathan the prophet came to him. Secondly, David had come to Bathsheba, and this terrible sin is very difficult to atone for, especially since he had also sinned against a husband whom he had sent to his death. It says here, in that specific sequence of words, Mizmor de David, a psalm of David, he first composed the psalm in order for the divine presence, the Shekhinah, to rest upon him. Ever since the episode with Bathsheba, the Shekhinah had departed from him. Some infer that he composed the present psalm out of gratitude, for the prophet reproached him privately rather than publicly. When Nosan the prophet came to him alone, not to anyone else. Literally, Lam Netzeach means to the victor. David vanquished his passion for Bathsheba when Nosan the prophet came to admonish him for having transgressed the word of Hashem. He did not conduct himself as did Yeravam, of whom the Torah says, "It came to pass when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Beis El, that Yeravam put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him." As we find this in Melachim Aleph. When Nosan the prophet came to him, David repented at once without delay, declaring, "I have sinned against Hashem," and as found in Shmuel Beis. Nosan replied, "Hashem also has put away your sin. You will not die." Because he had replied as readily as he did, this was reckoned in his favor as if he had repented immediately. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Honeini Elohim, kechastecho, keroi rachamecho, mechei pesho oi. Favor me with grace, O Hashem, according to your loving kindness, according to the plenitude of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. David began by asking Hashem to favor me with grace and lighten his punishment. This was followed by the plea to blot out my transgressions entirely, according to the plenitude of your compassion. This was his usual way to begin with the lesser request, followed by the greater. Thus it says, in that order, who can discern errors? Cleanse me of hidden faults. followed by keep back your servant also from willful sins. Favor me with grace, O Hashem, according to your loving kindness. Thus you said to the first man, for in the day that you eat of it, thou you will die, but then you prolonged his days. Another interpretation is based on the identification of Elohim as the attribute of law and judgment, and Hashem as the attribute of compassion and loving kindness. That's Yudkei Vavkei. David HaMelech says, favor me with grace, O Hashem, that is, via the attribute of judgment and according to the plenitude of your compassion. Just as at the creation of the world you apply jointly the attribute of judgment and the attribute of compassion, in this context, according to your loving kindness, Kachastacha thus concurs with the meaning of the world is built with loving kindness, Oilam Chesed Yibonim. According to your loving kindness towards me, you put away my sin and said that I will not die. Again, this is found in Shmuel Beis. Favor me with grace, O Hashem, according to your loving kindness. Before I ask for forgiveness of my sin, I say to you, treat me with grace. Be not angry with me. I will then ask for forgiveness without my having to appeal to the attribute of loving kindness. The lesser attribute of compassion will suffice to blot out my transgressions. If you find no mitigating merit to protect me from the punishment that I have incurred, still you are the judge and can grant me reprieve as a gift. If my transgressions are many, your compassions are more plentiful. They will suffice to blot out my sins completely, to leave no remembrance of them. The Medrash says, to whom can David be compared? Compare him to a man with a wound in his arm who approached the doctor and asked to be healed. The reply came, yes, but do you not have enough money? You don't have enough money to pay me, said the patient. I beg you, take all I have and make up the difference from your own pocket. Do me a kindness and have pity on me. Similarly, David said to Hashem, favor me with grace, O Hashem, according to your loving kindness. You, who are merciful, blot out my transgressions according to the plenitude of your compassion. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Erev kapseinu me'avoni mechatosi tareni. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The term harbe, to do much, pertains to what follows if the pasuk says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. If, however, it is understood to refer to something else, David is saying, you have acted with much loving kindness towards me in the past. Do so now as well. Wash me from my iniquities and blot out my transgressions. My soul has been defiled by sin. Magnify your compassion and wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Because iniquity is more severe than unintentional sin, Pasuk says, first wash me thoroughly, much washing from my iniquity. And then it says, cleanse me from my sin. Simply cleanse me, there is no need for washing. Forgiveness is likened to washing. Just as a very soiled garment requires repeated washing, so depending on the severity of the transgression, the soul requires much washing until it is rendered white. Similarly, it says, O Yerushalayim, wash your heart from wickedness. The pasuk is found in Yirmiyahu. David also says, wash me by my many washings rather than all at once. Punish me bit by bit until I'm cleansed, instead of afflicting me all at once for everything. Iniquity means willful transgression and requires many cleansings, but of my unintentional sin, cleanse me once. Rabbi Akiva said, the king has four sons. He smites one who keeps silent. He smites another who kicks rebelliously. He smites the third who entreats. He smites the fourth who responds by asking his father to hit him again. Avram was stricken and kept silent. Hashem told him to take now your son, your only son, Yitzchak, whom you love, and offer him there for a burnt offering, as we find in Chumash Bereishis. And Avram did not say to Hashem, but yesterday you told me that in Yitzchak will your seed be called. Instead, Avram rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey. Eir was stricken and he kicked. King Chizkiyo was stricken and he entreated. David said to his father, strike me. As it says here, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Sin is a humiliation for the soul, but cannot welcome the divine presence, the Shekhinah, until it is cleansed. So I beseech you, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity until my willful transgressions are transformed into merits. Then cleanse me from my sin so that I may welcome the divine presence. If one becomes worthy enough for his willful transgressions to be transformed into merits, while his unintentional sins are blotted out entirely, that is repentance out of love for God. There are different levels of repentance. When a person repents of his iniquity, then endeavors to be meticulous in the performance of the mitzvahs themselves, as well as of the protective ordinances of the Chachamim, this places him on a higher plane than the righteous man who is confident of himself. Accordingly, David says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. On account of my iniquity, I will henceforth endeavor to be pure and cleansed of all sin. Cleanse me from my sin. On account of my sin, I will become purified." Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Five. Ki b'sho'ai ani eido v'chatosi negdi sami. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I ask for forgiveness because I am not of those who are unaware of their iniquities. I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me, so I will not forget them. Unlike Chayin, who said, "I do not know," as we find in Chumash Bereishis, I am always troubled by and regret my sin. It appears ever before me, therefore I deserve to be forgiven. Based on the teaching of the Jehovah's Halvavos, it is explained further that a penitent should not only recognize and know his iniquity, but also know the punishment he deserves for his transgression. Thus David says here, "For I know my transgressions, I know well in what way I rebelled against Hashem, and my sin, even by my unwitting transgression, I acknowledge, it is ever before me, it continues to trouble and to condemn me." Zohar writes, said of Yossi, "A man is duty-bound to remain on guard against iniquities, not to stray to the right or to the left. In addition, he must examine his deeds every day. For every morning, upon rising from his couch, two angels appear at his side who will accompany him the entire day. Immediately upon waking and opening his eyes, they say to him, 'Let your eyes look on directly, and yet let your eyelids look straight before you.'" A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. "When he stands up and sets his feet to walk, they say to him, 'Make even the path of your foot.' Then, when night comes, he must scrutinize his deeds, behold everything he has done in the course of the day, and turn back to his Maker." Accordingly, David says, "My sin is ever before me." Just as a merchant accounts for all his expenses, so the person who is concerned for his soul must account for his days. The Shulchan Aruch begins with the pasuk, "I have set Hashem always before me," and it concludes with that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. It's the pasuk that's found in Mishlei. This teaches us that a person should at all times cleave to the following two things: fear of Hashem and being joyous in Hashem. This is the meaning of the pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar that says, "You shall offer two a day for a continual burnt offering." Our Chacham teaches that David said to Hashem, "Do not write down the transgression that I have committed before you." Hashem replied, "That is not to your advantage, lest people say that I forgave you because of my love for you." Compared to one who each year borrowed 1,000 bushels of wheat from the king, can he then afford to pay for 1,000 bushels, the people wondered? It must be that the king has conceded them to him and has given him written confirmation of the gift. One time the king dispatched a shipment of grain, and the man failed to pay for it. So the king entered the man's home and took away his sons and daughters, whom he placed on the auction block for sale. The people realized that the man was bereft of everything. Similarly, the afflictions that beset David were manifold and known to everyone, as it says, "And he will restore the lamp fourfold." A pasuk that's found in Shemuel base. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Against you, you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, that you may be justified when you speak and be in the right when you judge. Against you, you only have I sinned, and from you alone can can I ask for forgiveness? I certainly cannot ask Uriah, who's dead, of his comrades to forgive me and to be my friends. God is the witness, the judge, and also the claimant. He is witness to any sin committed in private. He is the judge when one man sins against another, and he is the claimant when the sin is between a man and his maker. Accordingly, David says here, against you, you only have I sinned. You alone saw it and were the witness. I have done that which is evil in your sight, and you are the judge who may be justified when you speak. Furthermore, as the claimant, you will prevail against me, be in the right when you judge. That you may be justified in having made me king. I will never again commit transgression, for my sin is ever before me. The Medrash says, compare it to a doctor who examined the wound and diagnosed it as a deep wound. Said the patient, why do you think I received this wound? It was to make you famous as a great healer. Similarly, David said, that you may be justified when you speak and be in the right when you judge. Because I have sinned only towards you, and you are both the claimant and the judge, I need not go before men to confess. It is enough that I acknowledge my sin and confess to you. Hashem's way is unlike man's way. A human judge will condemn and punish a man even if he confesses his crime, but not so Hashem. Therefore, David says, only against you have I sinned, and I confess to you so that you may justify, judge me fairly, and exonerate me when you judge. Against you, you only have I sinned, for I did not actually kill Uriah except by the designs of my heart, which only you know. Some say that against you, you only have I sinned, refers specifically to his possession of Bathsheba. David was troubled by this sin, and he said, I have sinned against Hashem, did not mention the sin against Uriah, and so Nathan the prophet said to him in the name of Hashem, Hashem also has commuted your sin. He commuted the punishment for that sin, and you will not die. But there remains the crime against Uriah. His punishment for this crime was Absalom's revolt and the death of his sons. Hence David says, I will make this widely known so that you may be justified when you speak and be in the right in having judged me. Based on the literal reading of Beinecha in your eyes, the pasuk is interpreted as follows. The eyes which you have given me for a good purpose, I used to do that which is evil. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Hein bi'ovon chololti u'v'chet yechamasni imi. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. David frames an apology for himself. Because of the passion implanted in the human heart, it is as if I was brought forth in iniquity. I was born to commit iniquity because of the inclination that enters the heart at birth, and because in sin did my mother conceive me. Literally, it is as if my mother inflamed me. As a result of the passionate arousal of the male parent and the female parent, the seed comes to give rise to the child. The singer only mentions the mother, however, in accordance with the teaching of the Torah, that when a woman seeds first, she gives birth to a male child, as brought down in Chumash Vayikra. Not surprisingly, a person sins. Literally, the scripture says, if you do not do well, sin crouches at the opening. Human passions are implanted from birth. David offered this apology to justify the sin he had already committed, not as a justification for committing sin in the future. On the contrary, the realization that he rose out of a putrid drop of semen will impel him to keep the commandments, to lift himself beyond his base beginnings. Similarly, when Hiob said, man that is born a woman is of a few days and full of trouble, that is seen as a defense after one has committed a sin. Hashem should not be severe in judgment to the full depth of human guilt. Just because man is born a woman is not seen as an apology to justify future sin. Thus David goes on to say, create me a pure heart, O Hashem, and renew a steadfast spirit with me. David says here in effect, even if you have made me of turbid and foul matter, you have imbued me and all humankind with grace. You have given man a soul so that he may achieve what you want of him, which is to fathom your godliness. In sin did my mother conceive me. He does not mention his father, for as the Talmud says, his father Yishai never committed a sin in his life. if not for the sin of Adam, at the instigation of the snake, he would not have died. Our Chachamim teach us that even a man of the most devout piety is marked by at least one facet of sin. Pasuk 8. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. Make me therefore to know wisdom in that which is concealed. The truth that you wanted me to go by was in the inward parts of my body. If I have sinned, it was out of passion and not out of rebellion. I knew that I was doing wrong, and now I regret my deed. Make me therefore to know wisdom in that which is concealed, so that I may know the hidden things as they truly are. For within my heart is a desire to do your will. I am aghast with sorrowing regret at having transgressed your will. Literally, the word tochos are kidneys. As the Chachamim have said, the heart understands and the kidneys provide counsel. The kidneys are overlaid with fatty substance which conceals them, just as mortar covers up the walls behind it. Thus David said, the truth you wanted is set in my kidneys, the lower part of the body. My sin was not due to a lack of faith, but because I was overcome by passion. In contrast, the villain said in his heart, there is no God, and for this reason they have dealt corruptly. They have done abominable deeds. There is none that does good. The Torah. Please turn tape over to side B. And renounce Hashem, for he says in his heart, you will not seek out. That Hashem does not know the affairs of men. This we learned already in chapter 10. Make me therefore to know wisdom in that which is concealed. The text is also read, you have made me know wisdom in that which is concealed. David says, I cannot justify the fact that it did not subdue my passion, since he gave me intelligence whereby to control his physical nature. I confess and acknowledge my sin. Another interpretation says, I well know that you wanted this passion within me to be there, but you also gave me a wisdom, the wisdom of the Torah, to control it. Then again, David says, truly you want us to examine our inward parts for things that are hidden, for hidden sins, as it says in Eicha, let us search and try our ways. Make me therefore to know wisdom in that which is concealed, so that I may repent. Behold, you wanted the inward parts and kidneys to counsel the person to be passionate. Compare it to a king who commanded one of his sages to rule in a dispute between two litigants, but at the same time commanded him to dine at the table of one of the litigants. Assuredly, it is unavoidable that he will be favorably disposed towards the one from whom he has benefited. Here too similar, you wanted man's intellect to be joined to gross matter. No wonder man is predisposed to iniquity. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, forged from gross matter that is predisposed to sin, for sin crouches at the opening. Why did you give me a physical nature? Would it not have been preferable to create man without this compelling demand of the physical? He would have obeyed your will at all times. However, you desired truth in the inward parts. You wanted your conduct of the world to be hidden from us, even as mortar conceals what's on the inside. Still in the future, we shall understand your ways, as it says, then you will return and see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Hashem and him that does not serve him. A pasuk that's found in Malachi. Thus the singer says here, you will make known to me that which is concealed. At the present time, what we have is hidden away in the inward parts, but there is lofty wisdom in that which is concealed, and we will know it in the future. Pasuk 9. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. The singular likens the effect of sin on the soul to a leprous infection of the body. Finally, it is cleansed by sprinkling with the hyssop, as we find this in Chumash Vayikra. Cleanse me similarly from my sin, David says, Just as the leper requires purging with the hyssop, followed by going to the mikveh immersion, before he achieves complete purification, so wash me, and afterwards I will be whiter than snow. Indeed, I will then also make others white. Purging with a hyssop a lowly plant symbolizes submissiveness. David says, plant submissiveness in my heart, so that I may be conscious of my baseness before you. Then I will merit to turn to you out of love. My willful transgressions will be transformed into merits, and I will be cleansed white. All my stains will be gone. David's sin was the result of arrogance when he said, probe me, O Hashem, and try me. As we learned previously in Sefer Tehillim. Therefore he had to debase himself where he could be healed. The same symbol is present in the purification of the leper by means of the hyssop. When a man elevates himself like a cedar, he is stricken by leprosy. By debasing himself to be like the lowly hyssop, he is healed. If you will wash me from my sin, I will merit to see the goodness of Hashem in the land of the living, in the world to come. This is also another pasuk that's found in Sefer Tehillim. Thus it says about David, as I looked, thrones were placed, and an ancient of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. It's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Daniel. Another interpretation says, first purge me with a hyssop. Purge me by means of your afflictions, and then I will be clean. I will make it my purpose to cleanse myself. Do you wash me, and then I will be whiter than snow by my own endeavor. David said, against you, you only, have I sinned. I did not cause others to sin. Therefore I will be whiter than snow, a pasuk found in Yeshayahu. As it says, though your sins will be like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. That is to say, if you will not cause others to sin, then you will become white as snow. But if they will make others red like crimson, then they will only be white as wool and not as snow. Our sages inferred that David was stricken with leprosy for 6 months, and he prayed that God cleanse him. Pasuk Yud, Tashmi'eni sosoin v'simcho togeono atzomos tekiso. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have crushed may rejoice. After pleading for forgiveness for the sin against Uriah and Bathsheba, David also appeals regarding his other sins. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have crushed may rejoice. A man's sins drive him to despondency, so when he is cleansed, there is joy and gladness. The bone-crushing despair is replaced by exhilaration. David asked of Hashem to let him know through the prophet that his sins have been forgiven. Then joy and gladness will come to his pining soul that now languishes in sorrow. Even the bones, the body too, will then rejoice. As it says, a good report makes the bones fat. It's a pasuk found in Sefer Mishlei. When you will have forgiven me, my bones that you crushed by your anger against me will rejoice. Corresponding to what he said earlier, purge me with hyssop and I will be clean. He says here, make me hear joy and gladness. During his leprous condition, he dwelt outside the camp in rent garments, which is the very contrast of open joyousness publicly displayed. When one is impure, he walks about with an ache in his heart. When the impurity is lifted, gladness takes its place. Corresponding to wash me, that has removed the pain of leprosy, says that the bones which you have crushed may rejoice. The bones that were afflicted with disease and pain will now rejoice. Then again, David says, make me hear joy and gladness to show that you want me. Similarly, the Torah says, Chumash Devarim, Hashem will again rejoice over you for good. Our sages relate that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai greeted Vespasian as the emperor of Rome, thus informing him of his appointment. The surprise of Vespasian could not tie his shoe. Such was his joy in hearing these glad tidings. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai quoted the pasuk in Mishlei that says, good report makes the bones fat. Similarly, David says here, make me hear joy and gladness, and then the bones which you have crushed may rejoice. When I will no longer be steeped in melancholy, I will be capable of hearing joy and gladness also from others. Hearing it will no longer be tiresome, a bother, as when singing songs to a heavy heart. Pasuk that's found in Mishlei. The bones you have crushed will rejoice, and I will know that the melancholy has departed from me. David is also saying, when you bring down afflictions upon me, I will welcome them with love, for thereby I will become cleansed of my sins. You will then make me hear joy and gladness, and the bones which you have crushed with pain will rejoice. That is provided you will hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Which we're going to learn right now in this pasuk. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Until now, David prayed to be healed of the disease that came upon him as a result of the sin of Bathsheba. Now he begins to pray for atonement of his other sins. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities that keep me from attaining completeness. Hide your face to keep my sins away from your presence. Do not recollect them. And blot out all my iniquities, for I regret each and every one of them, and turn to you in fullest repentance. Do not let my sins keep me from entering your realm. Hide your face from my first unwitting sins, lest they be reckoned with my iniquities, avonosai, willfully committed. After repented of the sin with Bathsheba, David asked of Hashem not to remember his earlier unwitting sin and to blot out all the willful transgressions. For when a person devotes himself to repentance and good deeds, all his iniquities are blotted out, and only the mitzvahs he performed during his lifetime are remembered. As it says, if you be pure and upright, surely now he will rouse himself for you. He will pray to Hashem, and he will be favorable to him, and he will see his face with joy, for he will render to a man his righteousness. All this is found in Iyov. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Leiv tohor buro li lekim buruach nochon chadesh bekirbi. Create me a pure heart, O Hashem, and renew a steadfast spirit with me. Having declared, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, that is imbued with the power of physical passion, David entreats Hashem for a pure heart that will not be ruled by the Yetzer, the evil inclination. He asks for divine help in accordance with the teaching of our sages that when a person comes to be purified, he is helped from on high. Since all aspects of sin are linked to the heart, the mind, he asks for a pure heart. Purity of thought, for a man cannot be cleansed of sin if his heart, mind, is not cleansed. A pure heart is not enough. However, for a man must also possess a steadfast spirit. If the spirit is flawed, purity of heart alone cannot instill sanctity. So renew a steadfast spirit with me. Create me a pure heart, O Hashem, and all my organs will then be pure. The source of all mitzvahs is the heart. So if the heart is good, all the organs will better their ways. Compare it to a living spring out of which flow a number of rivers. If the spring water is pure, all the rivers will be pure. Create me a pure heart to ensure purity of will and purity of desire that emanate from the heart. However, it is not enough to be granted a pure heart. One must also toil and strive. So renew a steadfast spirit with me that will persevere in the toil and the effort required for repentance. Create me a pure heart, a heart cleansed of the impurity of the evil inclination, and a steadfast spirit to understand and to teach. Create me a pure heart to counteract lust, and renew a steadfast spirit with me to counteract corruption of the intellect. Since physical passion is inherent in the human being at birth, a new creation is required for the person to cease lusting after evil. The spirit, however, is rooted in the goodness of the soul, and it is only necessary to renew this goodness. Create me a pure heart instead of an impure heart that wants to rebel against God, and a steadfast spirit to distinguish between good and evil. Create me a pure heart, O God, so that I may be capable of saying new things to my Maker in holy inspiration. Indeed, David HaMelech lived on to sublime a plane that he based his entire Sefer Tehillim on his disinspiration. In order to say original things every time, it is necessary to make this appeal every time. As David said, "To you my heart has said, for your sake and as for your envoy, seek you my face, your face, Hashem, I seek." To be worthy of such inspired creativity, one must possess a pure heart, and purity of heart is attained through exaltation and passionate cleaving to Hashem. One that expounds original insights all the time, thus prayer said, "Create me." Thus David said, "Create me a pure heart, O Hashem, and then I will merit a steadfast spirit to be renewed within me. I will be found worthy of saying new things." The first letters of the words Lev Tohor Bora spells the word Tovel, immerse. This is an indication that proper immersion in the mikveh is conducive to attaining purity of heart. It is essential, however, that during the immersion the person concentrate on the thought that he's purifying his soul. He's then guided towards the attainment of saintliness. Accordingly, the Rambam writes that the substance of purification depends on the heart, one's thought. Pasuk Yud-Gimel. Pasuk 13. Al tashlicheini mufanecho v'ruach katshecho atikach mimeni. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Because the sinner does not merit to be near to God, David pleads, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Having been found worthy to experience the Holy Spirit, as he said in Shmuel Beis, "The Spirit of Hashem spoke to me," he now prays that it should not be removed from him. Now that he has repented of his sin, he pleads that Hashem remove from him every obstacle due to iniquity. "Take not your Holy Spirit from me, and I will never again be drawn into sin." There are two ways a human being can be rejected: by sending him away or by moving away from him. David's plea relates to both. "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. Hashiv li sison yishecho v'ruach nediva sismecheni. "Restore to me the joy of your deliverance, and let a willing and generous spirit uphold me." Having just asked for the same thing in the future, "Cast me not away from your presence," David now pleads, "All joy has departed from me. Restore to me the joy of your deliverance." Regarding the future, he has also asked, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." And he says here regarding the present, "And let a willing and generous spirit uphold me." The effect of the Holy Spirit upon a person is possession of a willing and generous spirit. So imbued, one then composes songs of generous praise to Hashem. "If you will restore to me the joy of your deliverance, I will not be as one who has sinned before the king." Although a king may forgive an offense, he does not subsequently befriend the offender. "Restore to me the joy of your deliverance as it was at the beginning." The truest yearning of the righteous man is to elicit God's favor, which means to attain true and enduring life. As it says, "His favor is life." And it says, "Hashem, restore us and cause your face to shine, and we will be saved." Accordingly, following his repentance, David asked that Hashem favor him as he had favored him before the sin, namely with a willing and generous spirit. Thus he says, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me," followed by, "Restore to me the joy of your deliverance." May your miracles on my behalf and your deliverance be ever present. Let a willing and generous spirit uphold me. That is to say, do not favor me in accordance with my spirit, which has been diminished by my sin, but by your generosity. As it says in Hosea, "I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely and generously." And by the way, if anybody wants, Sefer Hosea has been translated and put onto tape or CD with the Amloway's commentary. David asked that the willing and generous spirit for which he prayed should uphold me to serve Hashem. The ensuing immense joy should not drive him out of his mind. Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. Alam de poshim drachecho v'chato'im elecho yeshuvu. Then will I teach transgress your ways, and sinners will return to you. When Hashem will have done all this for me, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. When they see that you have forgiven me on their own, they will return from their evil ways. I will teach transgressors your ways, that you help them return, and as a result, once they see how easy it is, they will immediately return to you. Thus our sages teach that one who comes to be purified is helped from on high. What is more, willful transgressions are then transformed into merits. Hence the Pasuk speaks of Chatoim, which may also be rendered as sins, rather than Choitim, as sinners. When they repent, their sins will return to you by becoming virtuous. I will teach you ways to those I recognize to be transgressors, while sinners, those who sin in private, will see me and return to you on their own. If you will grant my request in full and create me a pure heart, I will teach transgressors your ways. Words that come from a pure heart enter the hearts of the listeners, unlike words spoken from the lips outward. Pasuk Tezayin, Pasuk 16. Hatzileni midamim elkim elkei tishuasi teranim nishoni tukasecha. Deliver me from blood guilt, O God, God of my deliverance, so my tongue will rejoice in song at your charitable righteousness. Having stumbled by committing a sin against Uriam, David entreats Hashem, the just judge, not to punish him in kind, not to spill his blood as he had spilled Uriah's blood. You who have been God of my deliverance in the past, so in the present too, have mercy upon me. Then my tongue will rejoice in song at your charitable righteousness towards me. A subtle interpretation says, after having declared, then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you, David now prays that in teaching others he should not humiliate anyone publicly, but this is tantamount to spilling blood. Our sages have taught, when a master sits expounding the teachings of the Torah before the people, Hashem forgives all the sins of Israel. This has been explained as follows. When one commits a transgression, and then after hearing the master speak, one is brokenhearted, Hashem forgives him. In a different sense, David prayed to be able to teach transgressors Hashem's ways. Thereby he will also save his own life. As the prophet Yechezkel says, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. It's a passage that's found in Sefer Yechezkel. Then will I teach transgressors your ways. For you accept penitence even if they are guilty of rebellious transgression. Those who committed unwitting sins, sinners, will on their own return to you. They will do so upon seeing me entreat you for forgiveness of my unwitting sins. David also prayed that he should merit to bring merit to others instead of having caused them to sin. Pasuk Yud-Zayin, Pasuk 17. Adonai Sfasai Tiftocho Piyageti Lusecho. O Hashem, open you my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Having just said, so my tongue will rejoice in song, which requires preparation, David asks Hashem, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Hashem should grant him the power of speech, because from Hashem comes the utterance of the tongue, as we see this in Mishlei. Then my mouth will declare your praise. This indicates a special plea. If Hashem will open his lips when he wakes from sleep, he will immediately declare your praise. Accordingly, our sages have instituted that one says upon awaking, L'kai neshamesh nesati b'tohorah, my Hashem, the soul which you have given me is pure, etc. Now we always say this pasuk, Adonai Sfasai Tiftach, when we start saying the Shmon Esrei, the Amida. Pasuk Yudches, Pasuk 18. For you do not delight in sacrifice, for else I would give it. You do not desire burnt offering. Hashem wants the man turn to him in prayer and praise. And so David said, O Hashem, open you my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Hashem does not delight in sacrifice, or desire burnt offering, and atonement for unwitting sins, or else I would give it. The only proper offerings are a submissive heart and spirit.
because the origin of transgression is a haughty heart, as it says in the Torah, then your heart be lifted up and you forget Hashem your God. The pasuk is found in the Chumash Devarim, and it says a haughty look and a proud heart are the sinful growth of the wicked. The pasuk is found in Sefer Mishlei. The cure for a haughty heart is a submissive heart, as the Navi says, and rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn to Hashem your God. A pasuk is found in Sefer Yoel. So also Mishlei has been also translated onto tape or CD. Again, if anybody is interested, we are trying to complete the entire Ma'am Lois on tape and CD. Pasuk Yotes, Pasuk 19. Zivchei Elokim, Ruach Nishbora, Lev Nishbor V'Nitke Elokim Lo Sivza. The sacrifices of Hashem are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O Hashem, you will not despise. The offerings properly sacrificed before you are a broken spirit and a broken contrite heart. Such offerings will not return empty-handed, because you will not despise them. One man may be broken-hearted because of afflictions or poverty, and another may be broken-hearted because he's envious of another man's success. Accordingly, the Torah says here that a broken heart is valued when it's also a contrite heart. A different reading says, O Hashem, even when the heart is broken and contrite as a result of afflictions, and not due to my own remorse, you will not despise. A great king sent for one of his wise men. What have you been doing? The reply came, I have been studying the constellations. Our local world is no larger than the egg of an ant in a vast ocean. Our country is only one of many countries in the world. There are many houses in the country, many enclosed areas, and many marketplaces, and we are familiar with but a single one of them. How small am I in this world? How small is this world? How great is the Creator? Blessed be He. How can I possibly be haughty? Another subtle interpretation is based on the reading of Nitka as suppressed. The pasuk speaks of someone who conceals and suppresses his broken heart. As the Chovos HaVavos says, a man of truly devout piety keeps his sorrow in his heart and joy on his face. Said Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, come and see how great are the humble in spirit before Hashem, blessed be He. When the Beis HaMikdash was standing, a man sacrificed a burnt offering and received the reward for a burnt offering. He sacrificed a meal offering and received the reward for a meal offering. But if one is of humble mind, it is as if he had sacrificed every kind of offering. Thus it says, the sacrifice is plural of Hashem, our broken spirit. What is more, his prayer is never despised, as it says, a broken and a contrite heart, O Hashem, you will not despise. That is so, however, only when a broken spirit is joined to a broken, contrite heart. That is when one does not pride himself on his humility. However, humility is a very great thing, even when it is not pure, even when it does not go together with a broken spirit. A broken and contrite spirit, O Hashem, you will not despise, even when it is not the same as having brought every kind of offering. The singer brings proof that a broken spirit is superior to a sacrificial offering, whereas an offering, when flawed, is rendered unfit. A broken and contrite heart, O Hashem, you will not despise. A different interpretation says, you do not delight in sacrifice that I give. In the absence of a submissive heart on the part of the donor, offerings are merely a material gift, for the sacrifices of Hashem are a broken spirit. A sacrificial offering must be joined to submissiveness, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Pasuk Chav, Pasuk 20. Etiva v'etzoincha es siyorin tivne chomos Yishlaim. Do good in your favor to Tzion, build you the walls of Yishlaim. You do not delight in sacrifices brought in atonement for sins committed unwittingly. So do good in your favor. Build the walls of Yerushalayim. Let the holy Beis HaMikdash be built in Zion, and then you will delight in the sacrifices of righteousness. Offerings will be brought out of righteousness, rather than an atonement for sin, as in burnt offering and whole offering. The latter refers to the pan offering brought daily by the Kohen Gadol. A burnt offering was totally consumed, as we learned this in Chumash Vayikra. do good in your favor to Tzion. The first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash were not established by Hashem's full favor, since they would be destroyed in the future. The future third base of Mikdash, however, will be built by the hand of Hashem and be fully in your favor. Some explain that these psukim all refer to the future. When Hashem, when the Holy Spirit once again rested upon David, in response to his plea, "Restore to me the joy of your deliverance," he saw by prophetic vision that the first and the second base of Mikdash would be destroyed. So he prayed for the third base of Mikdash, when all of Israel will single-heartedly devote themselves to serving Hashem. Thus he goes on to say, "Then you will delight in the sacrifices of righteousness and burnt offering and whole offering. Then will they offer bullocks upon your altar." Pasuk Chof Aleph, Pasuk 21. Oz Tachpots Zivchei Tzedek Olov Cholil Oz Yalu Amizbachach Oporim. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteousness, in burnt offering and whole offering. Then will they offer bullocks upon your altar. Because in the future the heart of stone will be removed from our flesh, as we find in Pasuk Yecheskel, and the only offerings will be those of cleaving to Hashem. All offerings will be welcomed favorably. Accordingly, the Torah only mentions his sacrifices of righteousness in burnt offering and whole offering. Hashem will favor only voluntary burnt offerings and peace offering, not sin offerings or guilt offerings that atone for transgression. As it says in the Sefer Yeshayahu, "Even them will I bring to the mountain of my sanctuary and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar." Pasuk is found in Yeshayahu. The essence of an offering is the submissive attitude of one of the donors. So we ask that you do good in your favor to Tzion. This means that the people Israel, who are called Tzion, as it says, and say to Tzion, "You are my people," a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. The Jewish people were exiled when they grew haughty, as it says, "Because the daughters of Sion are haughty." But now in the future, all of you will have a broken and contrite heart and be ready for redemption. In another sense, we entreat Hashem to bestow his beneficence upon Zion by making it spiritually exalted and redeemed. We will continue Mitzvah Hashem in our next year. We are learning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD or for any of our Torah lectures online. This is Shir number 26. We are holding in chapter 50. Pasuk Chof Beis, I just want to do one last commentary in 21. I'm going to repeat Pasuk 21. Eila siso vechkarashti dimiso heyos eya chomochem o chichacho ve'ercho le'enechem. These things have you done, and I kept silent. You thought that I would surely be like you. I would prove you and set the matter before your eyes. A related interpretation says, you thought that it is appropriate for me to be like you, that I should pretend to see iniquity but not look too closely. But that is not the way things are. Rather, I will reprove you and set the matter before your eyes. I will do as you do in this regard when you see offenses in others.
you condemn them. Pasuk Chav Beis, Pasuk 22. Binu no zois shochechei elokai pen etro ve'ein matzo. Now consider this, you who forget Hashem, lest I tear you apart and there be none to save you. Having concluded his words of admonition, God says, consider this, you the wicked, you who forget Hashem, I do not punish without first having warned. See, here and now, accept the warning I have given you. Consider carefully my words, lest I tear you apart and there be none to save you. Thus the present pasuk refers to the earlier. But to the wicked man, Hashem says, what purpose have you to declare my statutes? Why have I kept silent until now? To enable you to consider your deeds with the utmost scrutiny, lest I tear you apart and there's none to save you. Some note that the word zos is an aristocratic for the words zechus avos tamo. The merit of our ancestors have come to an end. Do not rely on the merits of your ancestors to save you in Golus, for the merit of ancestors has come to an end. So beware, lest I tear you apart and there's none to save you. Similarly, commenting on the pasuk, and now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of the lovers, and none will deliver her out of my hand, a pasuk that's found in Hosea, our sages say, there is no longer ancestral merit. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk 23. Zoveach todo yechabdonanani, the son derech arenu b'yesha alikim. Whoever offers the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and so prepares the way, I will show him the salvation of Hashem. The singer now addresses the assembly of devoutly pious men, Hasidim. Neither the sin offering, nor the guilt offering, nor the burnt offering honors me, if they are sacrificed for the expiation of transgression, in the absence of true repentance. Rather good and pleasing is the sacrifice of thanksgiving, which is brought in the absence of sin. One who offers this sacrifice prepares the way, points to the proper path that others can follow by emulating him. To such a man I will show the salvation of Hashem. Hashem will bestow upon him his great and total salvation without recourse to any intermediary. Another interpretation says, whoever offers the sacrifice that is accompanied by thanksgiving, meaning he rectifies his ways, honors me through careful observance of my mitzvahs. Better still, if he prepares the way by perfecting his conduct and his thought so that he has no need to offer sacrifices, I will show him the salvation of Hashem. On Judgment Day, Elohim is God as judge. The perfected ones will find deliverance. Some note that the present pasuk expresses the essence of the entire psalm, corresponding to whoever offers the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. He said earlier, hear, O my people, and I will be testified for by you. You will be my witness. Offer to Hashem the sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. But the superior person has no need of sacrifices. Rather, he prepares the way. His path in life is firmly set to serve Hashem. What is that path? He anticipates when the evil inclination might come to induce him into sin, and he sets a trap for it. Thus forewarned, he takes precautions, which attest to his fear of God. Thus the Targum says, he slaughters the evil inclination and subdues it. This is reckoned to his credit, as if he had offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving. To the man who thus avoids the path of evil, I will show the salvation of Hashem. I'd like to share a story with you. Rabbi Yonai was once traveling on the road, and he saw an elegantly attired gentleman. By his mode of dress and bearing, he took him to be a Talmud Chacham. Perhaps the rabbi would agree to be our guest, he said to him, and the man agreed. So he brought him into his home and satisfied him with food and drink. But then when he tested the man, he found him to be ignorant of Chumash. He tested him in Mishnah and found him to be ignorant. Tested him in Agoda, found him to be ignorant. Rabbi Yonai handed him a goblet of wine to recite the benching, the grace after meals, and the man said, let Yonai recite in his own home. The man was even ignorant of the grace after meals. Said Rabbi Yonai to him, Tell me, do you have enough understanding to repeat after me? Yes, go ahead. Say this. A dog ate Rabbi Yannai's food. The man stood up and grabbing Rabbi Yannai shouted, "My inheritance is in your possession, and you are keeping it from me." That is to say, knowledge of the Torah which you have in your possession is like an inheritance which you keep for yourself and do not teach us. What do you mean by this, Rabbi Yannai asked. One day I passed by a grade school and heard the little children shouting at the top of their voices, "Moshe commanded us the Torah, the inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov," a pasuk found in Chumash Devarim. It's not written the inheritance of Yannai, but the inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov. The Torah belongs to every Jew. How is it that you were found worthy to eat at my table, asked Rabbi Yannai? In all my days, replied the man, I've never heard evil talk and then repeated it to the person of whom it was said. Nor have I ever seen two people quarreling there and not make peace between them. You possess these excellent qualities and I called you a dog, explained Rabbi Yannai. Then he applied his pasuk to him, v'shem derech, that is, the worth of this way is very great. For as Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Nachman, said, by 26 generations did derech eretz, the way of man on earth, proper conduct, precede giving of the Torah. Prepares the way. One who brings a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me by showing, preparing the proper way to bring an offering. The principal value of a sacrificial offering is in sacrificing one's will by subjecting it to the will of Hashem. As it says there, Tzon Chem Tizbochu, literally, when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to Hashem, slaughter your will. The main intent is for the person who brings the offering to destroy his evil inclination, and then I will show him the salvation of Hashem. He becomes worthy of receiving the divine presence. Thus it says, to do charitableness and judgment is more accessible to Hashem than sacrifice. It's a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Charitableness, the best of the offering is the charitable act whereby he gives part of it to the Kohanim, the priests, who are servants of Hashem. Judgment, the one who brings the offering considers in his heart that what is done to the sacrificial animal should be by right be done to him. Said Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, anyone who prepares his way in this world merits to behold the salvation of God, as it says, he prepares the way, and I will show him the salvation of God. Do not read Visham, but Visham and there. Not Visham, but Visham and there. That is to say, Hashem will show him the path of salvation there in the world to come. Rabbi Yannai had a student who would ask questions ceaselessly the whole year. But on the Shabbos of the pilgrimage festival, he refrained from asking him anything. So he applied the pasuk to him, he prepares the way, I will show him the salvation of God. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi also said, whoever slaughters his evil inclination and offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving, Hashem says about him, it is as if he honored Hashem in both worlds, in this world and the world to come. For it does not say Yechabdoni, but Yechabdononi. The double letter Nun refers to this world and to the world to come. He honors me in both worlds. The word shame is also read as the verbal sum, evaluates, summa. Whoever evaluates and considers and values his way in life, shem derech, so that he follows the path of the golden mean, I will show him the salvation of Hashem. Chapter 51, Pasuk 1. Lam netzeach mizmor leDavid, for the conductor of Psalm of David. Pasuk Beis, bevo elov noson anovi kasher bo el Bathsheba, when Noson the prophet came to him after he had come to Bathsheba. King David composed the present psalm as a prayer for forgiveness for the sin with Bathsheba. After he had relations with Bathsheba, the prophet Noson came to him in the name of Hashem to tell him the parable of the rich man, the owner of many sheep, who stole another man's only lamb, as found in Shmuel Beis. Thus confronted with his terrible sin, he composed this prayer. He composed it before Nassan subsequently informed him that his sin had been atoned for. In the realization that Hashem had honored him by sending Nassan to urge repentance,
David cried out joyously. A psalm of David, he had found a way to ask for forgiveness and to achieve atonement. Happy is this great king. He was wise enough to write about his sin. He was not ashamed to do so. He understood that it was better for him to suffer humiliation in this world than to suffer humiliation when facing the holy king, Hashem. He realized that had Hashem only meant to punish him, he would not have sent the prophet. Hashem wanted him to repent. The Torah writes in detail about David's prayer. The occasion was when Nathan the prophet came to him, etc. It is meant to teach us that a human being is capable of rising very high. David lifted himself out of the filth of sin and was cleansed, as we're going to learn in Pasuk Dalet. Here was this very great man, great in wisdom and great in good deeds, and because he was so great, it might have been thought that there was no salvation for him when he stumbled into sin. The opposite is true. He was found worthy to behold the divine light once again, because his heart and soul deeply desired to be cleansed. Some explain that the Torah here points to two harsh facts. For one, David did not repent on his own, but only when Nathan the prophet came to him. Secondly, David had come to Bathsheba, and this terrible sin is very difficult to atone for, especially since he had also sinned against a husband whom he had sent to his death. It says here, in that specific sequence of words, Mizmor de David, a psalm of David, he first composed a psalm in order for the divine presence, the Shekhinah, to rest upon him. Ever since the episode with Bathsheba, the Shekhinah had departed from him. Some infer that he composed the present psalm out of gratitude, for the prophet reproached him privately rather than publicly. When Nathan the prophet came to him alone, not to anyone else. Literally, Lamnatseach means to the victor. David vanquished his passion for Bathsheba when Nathan the prophet came to admonish him for having transgressed the word of Hashem. He did not conduct himself as did Jeroboam, of whom the Torah says it came to pass when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Beis El, that Jeroboam put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him," as we find this in Melachim Aleph. When Nathan the prophet came to him, David repented at once without delay, declaring, "I have sinned against Hashem," and as found in Shmuel Beis. Nathan replied, "Hashem also has put away your sin. You will not die." Because he had replied as readily as he did, this was reckoned in his favor as if he had repented immediately. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Hanani Elohim, kechastecho, keroi rachamecho, mechei pesho oi. Favor me with grace, O Hashem, according to your loving kindness. According to the plenitude of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. David began by asking Hashem to favor me with grace and lighten his punishment. This was followed by the plea to blot out my transgressions entirely, according to the plenitude of your compassion. This was his usual way to begin with the lesser request, followed by the greater. Thus it says, in that order, who can discern errors? Cleanse me of hidden faults, followed by keep back your servant also from willful sins. Favor me with grace, O Hashem, according to your loving kindness. Thus you said to the first man, for in the day that you eat of it, die you will die, but then you prolonged his days. Another interpretation is based on the identification of Elohim as the attribute of law and judgment, and Hashem as the attribute of compassion and loving kindness. That's Yudkei Vavkei. David HaMelech says, favor me with grace, O Hashem, that is, via the attribute of judgment and according to the plenitude of your compassion. Just as at the creation of the world you apply jointly the attribute of judgment and the attribute of compassion, in this context, according to your loving kindness, kechastecho, thus concurs with the meaning of the world is built with loving kindness, oylem chesed debonim. According to your loving kindness towards me, you put away my sin and said that I will not die. Again, this is found in Shmuel Beis. Favor me with grace, O Hashem, according to your loving kindness. Before I ask for forgiveness of my sin, I say to you, treat me with grace. Be not angry with me. I will then ask for forgiveness without
my having to appeal to the attribute of loving kindness. The lesser attribute of compassion will suffice to blot out my transgressions. If you find no mitigating merit to protect me from the punishment that I have incurred, still you are the judge and can grant me reprieve as a gift. If my transgressions are many, your compassions are more plentiful. They will suffice to blot out my sins.